The mission of the 70 in the first part of our gospel reading for this morning is not a mission that I think I could ever imagine accepting. It sounds more like orders received on that old television series. Anybody remember Mission Impossible? You remember how it goes. This mission, should you decide to accept it, and then concludes with, as always, should you or any of your IM force be caught or killed, the secretary will disavow any knowledge of your actions. This tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds. Good luck, Jim. Similarly, Jesus says to his disciples, go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. No provisions, not even a decent pair of walking shoes. Danger abounds, and by all means, don't stop to ask for directions. So I have to be honest. As I looked at those first 10 verses from chapter 10 in Luke, it seemed like a stretch to find some good news in that piece of gospel. So I continued on to the additional verses that were suggested for this day, the verses 16 to 20. And within those verses, it tells of the return of the disciples, and the 72 returned with joy. For me, that seemed much easier to reflect on the word joy than being a lamb in the midst of wolves. And of course, for those of you who know me well, thoughts of joy soon turned to music. Now, I understand that the children's story already stole my song. But my daughter suggested one, and so it could be, I've got joy like a fountain, right? But the song that I had thought of, and it's familiar to all of you, whether it was Sunday school or vacation Bible school or summer camp perhaps, where you first heard, I've got the joy. And where do we have that joy? Down in our hearts, right? Given the heaviness found within the rest of the passage, this song may seem rather on the light side, one free from care and concern. However, it asks the question, is it only about that superficial gaiety? Or could it be a song that prepares children to one day learn the deeper, more mature understanding of the value we call joy? And so for the child that remains in all of us, I believe that it's important to pay attention to joy, which seems to have a central role in today's scripture readings. At least it does for me. And so it seems significant that in verse 17, the gospel account reminds us about the 70 disciples sent out to spread the good news of God in Christ, returned successfully from their mission with a spirit of joy in their hearts. No doubt the 70 began with the expectant enthusiasm of ambitious beginners, but they returned as seasoned ministers with genuine joy in their hearts. At the same time, perhaps we need to discover the quality and meaning of this kind of joy as we think through the guidelines and warnings that Jesus set out for them as they were sent out. And perhaps as we compare what produced for them such joy, we can use it in our ministries as the current generation of followers of Jesus. So as we heard, Jesus sent them as lambs into the midst of wolves. It was a difficult, hostile world about which Jesus warned, one true to life in every time and place. The social environment included the usual crowd of bad guys, skeptics, Jewish fundamentalists, Samaritans, Gentiles, and Roman officials. In order to undertake the task, they had to overcome their fears with courage and resolve. So Jesus told them that they needed to travel light. No purse, no bag, or sandals. In order to get the job done, they would not have time to care about material possessions or to waste time on other distractions. He even ordered them, when not welcomed by a group, to wipe the dust off their feet and move on to the next place. The urgency of the movement would not allow them to linger in hopeless situations. So they went out among the people, dutifully accomplishing the mission. They were very successful. So successful that they returned with joy in their hearts. And so it wasn't that more childlike joy that children have when they return to camp or go out for Sunday school, but a deeper, satisfying inner joy of the soul. As the current members of the body of Christ, we are the 70 for our generation. Our mission is not unlike that of those mentioned in Luke's gospel account, and the guidelines and warnings, well, you can compare. The deep inner joy we can find in our 21st century mission for Christ can prove equally meaningful. As we embrace our baptismal covenant, we seek to serve God's people by offering to them the good news of God in Christ, both in sharing the truth and in the actions of care and love. It comes to mind that as we listen to the news each day, it would seem that we too go out among wolves. We live in a world that is fearful, emotionally paralyzed, or aggressively angry as a result of what we hear. There are so many who suffer from a form of post-traumatic stress disorder caused by acts of terrorism, near financial depression, natural disasters, and unexplained violence. Far too many are driven by fear and self-defensiveness to overreactive and destructive actions. Perhaps the hardest example to follow from Luke is to take with us no semblance of purse or bag or sandal. Many of us become disabled by fear of loss in the midst of a culture that seems to be overly materialistic. It seems that many desire not to give up anything of substance or not be willing to do without what is wanted or what they may think is needed. I was trying to think of an example that would indicate this baggage of materialism that can disable people from taking action. And so a visual for me is, has anybody ever watched Hoarders? Check it out. There are some extreme examples of how people become immobilized by the material goods around them. If we try to make sense of shaking dust off our feet, a practice of pious Jews during New Testament times also becomes difficult. Many of us are disdainful at the idea of giving up on any task. But perhaps the application for us is to make the best and wisest use of our time and energy. prioritizing intended to maximize the effectiveness of our call to carry out God's work. It's a lot to take in. And with all of this in mind, we can follow these modern warnings and guidelines in our efforts for Christ and try to discover the deepest joy in our hearts that life in faith can bring. Perhaps use the challenge from Jesus to the 70 as a model to move boldly into our everyday world, into the lives of those around us, our friends and neighbors, strangers and enemies, skeptics and unbelievers, the bereaved and disconsolate, the poor and victims of injustice, the hopeless and diseased, all who are in need of God. We move forward with courage and commitment in telling others about Christ, bringing them into the life of the church, welcoming those who come anew into our midst, ministering to all in need, sharing with them what we have so that they may be healed of their brokenness and find the same joy in the Lord that we have found. I go back to the beginning of my message. The question for me is, can singing "I've Got the Joy, Joy, Joy" be an appropriate and affirming response to what we experience in the committed Christian life? Can it serve as a statement of Christian hope and faith that helps us remember that grace and love sustains the foundation of God's relationship with us and God's power and support as we go about our Christian ministries? As Daryl pointed out with the children earlier, we are all in this together. And so I'm going to ask you to humor me. And instead of singing I want you to sing we. And instead of my, to sing our as we sing one more verse of "We've Got the Joy." You ready? We've got the joy, 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 joy down in our hearts. Where?
Down in our hearts.
Where?
Down in our hearts.
We've got the joy, 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 joy down in our hearts.
Down in our hearts to stay.
Amen.